Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land, and we're also coming from the Big Apple on the other side with Adrian Gruber of the Caregiver Space. Say hello, Adrian.
Hello.
And I don't have my script in front of me, so I'm just going to have to ad lib, but we'll just see how good this memory of Dave's is. So we are on 15 or maybe even 16 global platforms, and I am so busy and I'm so lazy to update that. But trust me, they are there. And things like YouTube and iTunes and Stitcher and Blog Talk Radio and all that stuff, SoundCloud. So we are going to – I had a guest today, Adrian, and guess what happened? I mean – You figure I've been doing this almost 5 years, and you figure that everything could have possibly happened has already happened, but today was a first.
Today was a first.
Let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
Somebody called me and said they wanted to interview me, which happens a lot. But I wrote it down in my schedule, and it looked, because it was on a Tuesday and because it was at 11, very close to 1 Pacific time, it looked like, you know, one of the interviews that I was doing. And so every time I book an interview, I look and I say, okay, that one's booked. So I haven't booked anybody because I'm glad it happened, because I'm not glad that happened, but she called me this interview at like 7 a.m. and said, I'm sick, I can't do it, I'm sorry. So I thought it was my interview. And so she says, are these dates available? And I says, no, here's when I do my interviews. And she writes me back. She says, maybe you're misunderstanding. I'm interviewing you. I says, oh, my gosh. And then I told her that I don't have an interview because of her. I didn't say it that way. But so I should probably never interview an interview on the day I'm doing an interview, or I will probably forget who's interviewing who. You know, doesn't that make sense?
Well, I would think that you'd be able to figure out a way to differentiate.
I'm 64 years old, you know. The memory isn't...
Well, there's a thing called notes.
Well, I have it in my scheduler. Somehow, I don't know how, somehow it moved from 11 to 1 Pacific. I think I might have come across and said, what's that doing at 11? I interview at 1. So I'm sure I made it worse. And then I can see how it would happen. So, but our listeners aren't interested in all of that stuff.
Okay.
Let's just say we have an exciting interview planned for you today. Even though it's not the one that we thought we had planned, we have the famous, the infamous, the amazing Adrian Gruberg. Do you know that there are people that would love to have this woman do something on their show, but they just can't get her because she's so busy. And here we get her every single week. And we never want to take that for granted, because this woman is a gem. She's a national treasure.
Oh, my God.
And she is so wise about caregiving. I remember before you and I became friends and stuff, it was so hard to get you on the phone. It was so hard to get you to answer an email because you're just so busy. And now you take my calls all the time, and I'm just...
It was hard to get me on email?
I would email you something, and it would be a long time, maybe a week, for you to respond. And I can understand that, because I get hundreds of emails a day, and it's, you know, they get lost in the shuffle.
You get lost, yeah.
Do you get hundreds of emails a day?
I get a certain number of, let's say, personal or primary emails, then there are the social ones, then there are updates, and
yeah,
then there
it's
are
a lot
forums,
of stuff.
And
it's
they're
not...
broken up, so the important ones show up, but sometimes they show up in the updates. So there are two things that I check.
Yeah.
All of the Facebook and other stuff is under the social.
But sometimes it gets away from you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. All right. So my point is, we are very fortunate to have Adrian Gruberg. And I guess some would say that it was fortunate to have me because I'm this wealth of wisdom. But
yes, you are.
I can't say that by myself, or that would be Trumpian. And we don't want to be we don't want to be that.
Oh, we don't?
I don't think so. I don't think we want to be that. We don't want to turn off half of our audience, you know, and get caught in the crossfire. Anyway, we want to thank last week's guest, which I think you could not make because he rescheduled it. And, you know, we are very busy people here. But on the West Coast, we're a little more flexible, right, than those on the East Coast because
I'm pretty flexible when you need me to be, when you give me enough notice.
That's true. and you're doing Pilates and yoga, so I know you're very flexible with your body. And stuff like
I'm not doing Pilates and yoga.
Well, anyway, Dr. Jay Shetland, and it was a great show. You should tune in to the recorded podcast because he talks about the truth about cancer and alternative treatments outside the U.S.
Mm.
And we had to edit some of his show out because we were saying stuff that might have gotten us in trouble with the pharmaceuticals. And, you know, we don't know if they have hitmen where they send
them
off. No, yeah. So it's a big industry, and it's now I got to be careful what I say or they'll come after me.
No, anyway, they won't.
Anyway, we'll
they know, look, they know that this other they know alternative medicine is out there. It's not like you're the only one talking about it.
And it's all geared about the profits of pharmaceutical, you know, because obviously they are billion dollar. I mean, they're powerful.
But you know what I mean? NPR radio talks about it all the time.
Really? How they're kind of in bed with the government and the FDA and all that.
I don't know if they talk about the FBI, but...
No, I didn't say the FBI. I said the FDA, Federal
FDA.
Drug.
FDA. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, sometimes the money speaks loudly and...
Absolutely.
And what's in the public's interest doesn't always necessarily win.
Nope.
If it's in some powerful people's interest and it means a lot of money, it's easy to change your morality or to change your integrity or to change whatever it takes. Because money always seems to win, doesn't it? Whenever
money talks.
and we know the other half of that. whenever we don't understand something in government that doesn't make any sense, like it just defies common sense, just follow the money trail and you will always say, ah, well, now that makes sense.
Right.
Well, that was more than I wanted to say. But anyway, the truth about cancer and alternative treatments outside the U.S. His main focus was that if you want to get healed of cancer, you can't do it here in the U.S. You've got to go out. Mexico is a big place to go. And they've got amazing visitor hotels and clinics just geared toward the wealthy people who are paying for these treatments because they're not covered by insurance. And they're staying in the finest hotel rooms, and you walk across the street and finest medical clinics, finest doctors, and they have got a much higher success rate than the U.S.'s standard treatment, surgery, chemo, radiation.
Was this all cancers or specific kinds?
We were only talking about cancer because cancer is the big cash cow.
Just in general.
In general, right.
Yeah,
so
the umbrella.
His wife had cancer, so he actually went through it. They actually went to Mexico. So everything he learned is firsthand. And so,
and
like
he's
I said,
a doctor.
He's a chiropractor, a functional medicine doctor.
Okay. So he's into alternative medicine.
Yeah, he's not a cancer doctor or a surgeon or anything like that.
No.
But we just had to remove a few things from the... from the show because, you know, you want to go up to the limit,
yeah,
but you don't want to
it.
Cross the limit. You don't want to...
I got it.
Yeah, Adrian gets it. Well, anyway, we want to thank Dr. Shetland for his input on the show, and I would encourage you to watch it or listen to it, whether you're doing the audio or the video. And you can listen to that show or any show on all of our membership, all of our platforms that they're on, and our membership website, caregiverdave.com. And what else? All right, well, enough of that. Let's get to...
Oh, I meant to say, I think I deserve a lifetime membership.
Absolutely. I mean, we didn't do that yet?
No, we haven't.
Amazing.
I think we should.
I will make sure that happens. Okay. You're talking about my website, right?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. We can comp you. If they can cop you into the the Russian tea room or something, then you know it. Why not?
I wish they coped me into the Russian tea room.
Is Tavern on the Green still open, or did that close?
Sure.
Yeah.
Still somebody else is running it, but
still good food. So next time it's
a tourist place.
Hmm.
You know, but it's beautiful.
Well, I'm going to be in New York in April, so we've got to make sure that we get together this time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in again sometime during the first quarter, not sure when. One will be at speaking at West Point, and one will be I'm one of the producers at the National Publicity Summit looking for guests on the show.
At West Point?
West Point Military Academy, yes. I will be... talking to our nation's future leaders.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, what?
What was the other?
The other one is, remember I went to the National Publicity Summit last year. That's when we met. And I was actually pitching producers to be on shows. But this time I am the producer looking for people who are pitching shows to be on our show here. Isn't that
And
cool?
It's in New York?
It's in New York. It's going to be in the New Yorker Hotel again. April, sometime mid-April. I can't remember the exact date. And so I couldn't stay with my cousin. He lives in Staten Island. He just moved into one of those lofts right on the water, and he was remodeling his kitchen and gutting the floor and all of that stuff. But now it's just beautiful. He's got such an amazing view right across the bay. He can see the Statue of Liberty. He can see Manhattan. Mm. He can see you, Adrian, on a clear day.
On a clear day.
Well, we're not talking much about caregiving here, are we?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
No, we're telling people where you're going to be and what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay.
Okay. So put it on your calendar. I'll get you the exact date. I'll comp you the membership website. And you are so fortunate to have Corey running your Facebook page. It is
I
so
sure
hard.
Am. She's amazing, isn't she?
You know, for 2 years, I think it's been 2 years, maybe 1 year, I can't remember, but we've been trying to get our Facebook small group page because, you know, the big one's got 35,000. And everyone kind of gets lost in the shuffle, and not all of them are devoted and dedicated caregivers who are on Facebook every day. And so you want to make a smaller room. It's like a breakout session, right?
Right.
And we've had some members in there. I've gotten rid of a lot of them because they just don't participate. And now I'm down to like 13, and I want to grow it. So. It's just hard getting people to participate. Need the right people in there. So I'll be happy to bring you in. Maybe.
Did you get a newsletter from Corey today?
No, was I supposed to?
Oh, I'll have to have her send. She sends you one.
Yeah, put me on the list. Comp me.
Even though
it's free.
It's free.
Yeah, you've been giving away money for years. But you're looking for sponsors, aren't you?
I'm looking for sponsors, not advertisers.
So have you had any luck with that?
I haven't put out any feelers yet.
Well, maybe you can go over to Trump Tower and get some takers. I know there's a lot of money over there.
I know there's a lot of money over there. I don't think I want them.
And you know what? We got to work together. We got to cross across. Grab arms across the aisle. Isn't that what?
Yeah, I don't think I want Emirates Airlines sponsoring the caregiver. It makes no sense, you know.
Yeah, But I
I
mean,
need.
they do claim over there to care about health care and hanging on to, you know,
Existing
pre-existing,
conditions.
Thank you. I was having trouble finding the words. Pre-existing conditions. Maybe they would be interested in expanding their new Trump care, whatever that happens to look like, to include caregiving. I mean,
I wouldn't take his money.
Stranger things have happened.
He wouldn't give me his money anyway. Anyway, I'm
all right. So much for reaching across the aisle. Okay.
I would reach across the aisle, but it's a matter of mission.
Yeah.
You know, we have missions.
Yeah.
And ethics and boundaries.
No, I think you've crossed the line now. Let's back that up a little bit. Okay, getting back to caregivers. So we're on Facebook Live. So if you're listening on Facebook Live, then comment. And if you have some questions, I mean, what a unique opportunity. It's a Tuesday afternoon, and you have two great caregiver leaders and compassionate people who have walked the walk and talked to the talk.
Yep.
And we've been through the battle. We've got our scars. We've got our wounds. We had our surgeries, and now we're helping all of you in the trenches who are suffering and are burned out and are fatigued and are...
And are after caregiving and grieving.
Yes, because it doesn't stop when they die, does it?
It does not, and there's a big hole.
Yeah.
You know, you've identified as a caregiver, and now what are you? You know, depending on the length of time you've done it, sometimes you really lose yourself.
Yes, yes.
And you tomorrow, have to find yourself again.
And all I'm doing now is helping people. Thank God that my wife is so low maintenance. You know, you would think, boy, you are one lucky dog, because here you've got a wife, 74 years old. Some people might think that that's old. I know when I'm 64, 74 does seem pretty old to me. And I say, oh, my gosh, what am I going to be like when I'm 74? But if I'm in Charlene's shape, I wouldn't mind. Minus the stroke, of course, where she can't talk and she can't walk. But you talk about somebody who makes lemonade out of lemons, it's this woman.
Boy.
She's just amazing. Makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers. I mean, she's been going like the ever ready bunny, getting this place ready for Christmas. And she's just yesterday I just looked at her and she just looked exhausted, and she's in her chair and she's doing all this by herself. And the person who was supposed to come in, it was her birthday, so she didn't come in. And
oh,
we wished her a happy birthday, but then Charlene says, I'm all alone today, because I'm doing, you know, I helped her a lot, but I still, you know, I got to run a gas station, especially on Mondays. But she's amazing. And
does Charlene write?
She gives you clues. She doesn't write in sentences, because that part of the brain is damaged.
Okay.
But she can give you words. So, and she doesn't use verbs very much. In fact, mm-hmm. She doesn't use verbs at all. So she kind of talks like Tarzan. Me,
okay.
You, store, you know, and you got the important words.
Yeah.
Sometimes because she doesn't remember how to spell store, it may look like steer.
Right.
And so, okay, steer. You don't want a steer, right? You don't want steak, right? You don't want hamburger. And so, you know, no. Okay, so I got to bring it back. Okay, it's not a meat.
No.
It's charades and it's Pictionary. And these are two games that I've not made any secret that I do not like.
You
I'm not
have
good at.
You have great patience.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, maybe if you're grading on the curve, I have great patience.
Well, I mean, I know when I was caregiving, that was something I made up my mind to do.
It has to be a decision.
I had to be a certain way. I had to behave a certain way, And
it's like being on camera, right? You have to be your best when the camera is rolling or the microphone is on. You know, you can't just kind of do what we're doing here. We're just kind of really laid back today. But there are still lines that we're not going to cross, you know, like that one that you crossed that I pulled you back from.
I didn't cross any line.
But you got awfully close. Okay. Anyway. we put on our best face. And so with caregiving, I mean, if we can behave ourselves on a four-minute television segment or a one-hour radio show, by golly, we should be able to behave ourselves when we're a caregiver. Now, you can always take a break and go into the bathroom and scream or curse or vomit or do whatever you do in the bathroom that you need to do to compose yourself and then go out there with your new face on, with your game face on, right? And I guess football players do the same thing. You know, you could do whatever you want in the locker room, but when you get out on that field, man, it's 110%.
Right? But you also have to be honest.
Well, yeah.
So it's
not
a
too
very
honest, though.
Delicate...
Not too honest.
I don't know. I was always honest.
Yeah, but sometimes you can be so honest that it hurts the other person.
Oh, I don't mean that way.
Well, that's what I mean.
If yeah.
I'm talking about brute honesty. You are no. You can't handle the truth. You know, that kind of honesty.
No.
Tom Cruise. Jack.
Jack.
Jack. He's a national treasure.
Yes, he is. I haven't seen him lately.
Yeah. He looks great, even when he looks terrible. I want to talk a little bit about one of my guests that I've had in the past, Dr. Maurice Chevalier. I don't know if you were on the show when we did that. He is
forget Maurice Chevalier?
Did I say Maurice?
You did.
Oh, my gosh. You see, I don't even control what comes out of my mouth. It's Dr. Antoine Chevalier. And then I usually say, you know, like Maurice Chevalier.
Okay.
But this time I totally messed up. And I'm getting ready to go on a plane tomorrow to speak the next day in Delaware. I'm going to be pretty close to you,
so
close yet so far away. And I'm talking at the TEDx third annual women's conference. Can you imagine? A bunch of women want to listen to me, but 80% of caregivers are women.
Yes.
And so I always fear, not really, but I do, that something will come out of my mouth because, you know, I'll listen to my rehearsals and I'll say, oh my gosh, I said the wrong word there. Instead of saying care receiver, I said caregiver. And you hear it on the news all the time. People will talk about things and they'll say the wrong country and then the host has to correct them. You said Croatia, but I'm sure you really meant, Russia, right? Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And you meant Antoine.
Yes, I meant Antoine. Anyway, he's a great man. He works at the White House under all sorts of administrations. He was there 17 years, still is, and he's in the mental health department.
Uh-huh.
No jokes now.
No.
But he's been working on his third PhD. He's a very smart guy. He comes from Paris, France. And he does this thing that the simple way to describe it is acupuncture for the brain. And they take electrical stimulation, like a TENS unit.
Okay.
And they do a functional MRI, which I did not know what a functional MRI is. It's different from a regular MRI. It shows more detail. It shows the actual blood flow, you know, the parts that a typical MRI does not show.
Mm-hmm.
And so he examines that, and he looks for all of the dark areas of the brain that do not have enough blood flow, and then he zaps them, and he's getting amazing, amazing results. He's in Japan now, and he just did something 4 days ago that the doctors at the MRI clinic are saying is impossible. They're laughing because it's impossible, and it will be entered into the medical journal in Japan. This man could not get out of his wheelchair because his legs were just not working. They were always in pain. They were prickling, and they would convulsed, not convulsed, but, you know, cranes and stuff like that. And so they did a functional MRI of him, and they zapped the spot that needed to be zapped. And then
his
the guy jumped out of his chair, and the pain went away. And he's had results like this all over the place with
autism.
Fantastic.
He's
went into prisons where a prisoner was just banging his head against the wall. That's all he would do every single day.
Right.
Gave him a session. He stopped banging his head against the wall. Now, that's like, that's a miracle. And so we became friends. He's in Harvard. We spoke in Harvard together, and we spoke at NASDAQ together. And I started thinking about it, and he was interested in caregivers because caregivers are – he deals with anxiety and depression and suicide and addictions, mm-hmm. drinking, smoking, drug addictions. And so I'm thinking I've got
– Does he do work with Alzheimer's and dementia?
I believe he does. Right now he's a researcher, so he's working everywhere. He's traveling all over the world. And so we really bonded, and we became good friends. And he says, next time in L.A., you know, I'll stay at your place, and we'll look at your wife. And so he's coming on December 14, 15, and 16.
Fantastic.
He'll be staying with me. I've got a grandson who's got some issues with,
mm-hmm.
you know, drugs and behavior and mm-hmm. meltdown, anxiety. And I've got you know, another family member who's dealing with cognitive multiple sclerosis. And I, of course, am dealing with my memory because my mother had dementia, and I keep getting tested, and they say, well, you're very close to the borderline, but you're not there yet. You know, well, I don't want to be close to the borderline. And then my wife, of course, he really believes he could help her. And so we're scurrying around to find a place that can do these functional MRIs. They're very expensive. They're like $2,200 a piece. But we may have found someone who's willing to do it for $500 because, you know, insurance doesn't cover it, of course.
Right.
And many of them want a prescription. But we found a place that doesn't care if you have a prescription or not, because a functional MRI is not as dangerous as a regular MRI from the radiation or the magnet,
mm-hmm.
The magnets or whatever it is. So we're almost there. They seem negotiable, and we're just getting there. And so we're going to have about five people that he's going to work on, because we all need miracles. And he's on his way to India to work on the Dalai Lama. And he may be, yeah.
What's wrong with the Dalai Lama?
I don't know what's wrong with him. He must be old or something. But
everyone
has something going on with them. Whether it's pain or memory or anxiety or depression. I mean, gosh, is there anyone in America who's not depressed? There's so much to be depressed about. You know, your political party didn't win, or you know, on college campuses, things don't go your way.
There are fires all over the place.
Yes, and shootings. People can be depressed about just anticipatory grief about that. And so what was I trying to say here? See, I lost my train of thought.
Well, he sounds wonderful.
He is wonderful. Oh, I was going
to say. He's in New York. I'd love to meet him.
All right. He will be in New York. He'll be speaking with me at West Point. So maybe we can set up a meeting or something. And
when is West Point?
It's they don't have an exact date yet, but it will be the first quarter of the year.
And well, now that I have a car, I could drive up.
Have a car. Oh, you're like Seinfeld. You got a car. Now you're looking for all those parking places and a parking garage.
We have a garage.
How much does that cost you?
Well,
or is it too much? You'd be embarrassed to say on the
air. On my block, it's $798 a month. And, of course, the street from that, it's $898 a month. So I called up.
That's almost.
I called up the parking lot, management company, and said, I can't afford the rates that you have in the garages on my block. Can you find me a garage with a lower rate? And they found me something for $300 a month.
Oh.
Which was amazing. See,
is that what you got?
You don't ask, you don't get. This time I asked, and I got, and it's going up to $335 a month in January. But that's
so
it.
you were baiting us when you said 700.
798.
Wow, you're a good marketer. You're a good marketer, Adrian. You prepared us, and then when you said 300, it's like, oh, wow.
I mean, I was amazed that they could come to something that low with valet and 24 right. hour
so,
service.
So this time you can actually come and drive
yes.
to my place, pick me up, take me to your favorite pizza place.
I haven't had awesome. Pizza in years, but yes, I can take
we
you.
We could go joyriding and
yeah.
We can go to like a Broadway musical. I want to see Carole King so bad.
Beautiful's on Broadway.
Okay, well, maybe we'll do that. Listen, let's take a break because we're just talking about so many caregiving things here. I'm sorry. I hope our audience is patient with us, but don't go away. We'll be right back.
I, Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, along with my team of experts and caring caregivers, have made the site just for you. We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical, actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our welcome pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences. Plus, add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum, posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group. You can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. We know funds are tight, so we offer all of our individual Thrive Solutions packs. Or for even a better deal, you can get lifetime access to all of our resources. Again, we're here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. And remember, this is a place to get hope. Not just cope.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and me, Dave the Caregiver, Dave Nassani, caregiverdave.com, and Adrian of the Caregiver Space. You know, Adrian, we're kind of having fun here. This is like Ryan and Kelly. Maybe we should get our own show in New York. You know, just talking shop. That's kind of what I feel like we've been doing, just having a Ryan and Kelly moment.
We haven't had any special guest stars today. It's just us.
You're in New York. You know important people, don't you? You know
some.
You know Regis. Yeah. Call them up and tell them, you know, we need our own show.
Why?
Why do we need our own show or why?
No, why do we need Regis?
Well, then call somebody else. Somebody more famous than Regis.
Regis was pretty famous when Regis was.
How old
Regis
is he now?
Was doing who
yeah,
was?
He was amazing.
He was a big shot.
He was like today, Ryan Seacrest. Yes.
Well, no, Ryan Seacrest is. You know, he's the host of the show now, but. But Ryan Seacrest is also a producer, and Regis was
He's
never
He's got his
the
hands
producer.
And everything. Regis wasn't a producer.
No, but Regis was a performer, and he was a great performer. And
who would you compare him to today, if you know, a younger version?
I can't, because he's...
Nobody's.
He
they broke the mold when they made Regis.
Yeah, he started out as a page at NBC, and... worked his way up all around the country, and you know, it's a different world than it is now with social media. You know, everybody gets famous, and
that's true.
It's unexpected.
Melissa Radke, she does a video about how somebody humiliated her in a music audition in Nashville. Next thing you know, she's She's a world famous author, and now she has her own reality show. And
see, there
she
you go.
Interviewed on Today's Show, all because of a YouTube video.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you're curious, you can find Steve's show on YouTube. The group tube is
on
YouTube.
I saw something that you two were doing. I mentioned it to you before, and you didn't know what it was. Did you ever check that out?
Were you, two of us?
Yes, it was like you were helping him rehearse lines, like he had
That's
was in a
Eddie.
Play or something. Oh, well, what did you say? Oh, your first husband who passed
my,
away.
No, my late husband. My first husband is in Switzerland.
I didn't even know you had a first husband. I thought
yes.
he was the only one.
No.
Wow.
I had a 9-year marriage. And then 26 years before we
you
got married.
You got some history on you, girl.
Yeah.
I've never know it by looking at you.
Interesting life. Very.
You need to. Oh, I'm going to say.
I am writing a book.
Write a book. No, you're not writing a book, are you?
I've been writing a memoir for a long time.
A book is different than a memoir.
For my niece and nephew more than anything else. And I am a real. I really encourage people to write, especially caregivers, daily journals. I did it. It saved my life, you know, by getting it all out, whether it was in the morning to just let it go and have it clear for the day, or at night to just vent. And the things that I wrote, when I go back and read them, it's really very interesting to go back and see what it was like and how I felt and the whole emotional roller coaster ride of caregiving. Yeah. The good days, the bad days, the really, really rough times, and then the grief afterwards, and I write, and it's a wonderful thing to do.
It sounds like you made a decision now. You've made a change, because before you said, I'm not writing a book. Nobody always has to write a book.
Oh, no. This is not a book on caregiving.
I know. I'm talking about the book of your life.
No, the book of my life is, that's not a book that would get me on the Today Show. I'm not writing a book on
caregiving. But you have an interesting life. You have an interesting life.
Yes, I've had an interesting life. Did you know I lived in Africa?
No.
Yes,
that's interesting.
I lived in Africa.
How many people can say that?
Yes, I lived in Africa.
And you knew famous people.
And I know famous people.
That impresses people that you know famous people.
I know it impresses people.
Don't roll your eyes at me.
but what I'm doing now is Africa was the best, but what I'm doing now is very important to me, and I'm very glad I'm doing it.
It's a nice way to be in the golden years of our lives, right? Because what else can I do at 64, or you at whatever age you are?
70,
okay. Right? The list of options has narrowed significantly in the last few decades of what
yes,
we can
I mean,
do
I haven't, can, I haven't become a technical wizard. I figured, let me learn the pro when I was designing. It was let me learn the programs that I need to learn, mm-hmm. and let everybody else who knows what they're doing do the websites, edit the commercials, all that. I knew that I couldn't do everything, and I think it's the same thing in all areas of life. You have to do what you can, and then let somebody else do the rest. It's hard with caregiving because sometimes you can't count on somebody else to do the rest.
Yeah, that's called delegation.
Delegation is very hard in caregiving, but that's what Share the Care is all about. We started to talk about Share the Care.
Yeah, let's keep talking about it.
when you get a bunch of people together, not just your friends, but friends of your friends, who hear about your story and are interested, and they get together, and you tell everybody what's going on with your life and what you need to happen. I mean, my friend Veronica, her husband had, I can't even pronounce it, he had brain cancer. And the same brain cancer that McCain and Kennedy had. And he went very fast. But she couldn't handle it all by herself because she had to support him. Well, you know, their life. Because he couldn't work anymore once he had the brain cancer. And she got this group of people together, and I hosted it, and she just told people what she, you know, needed help with. And people started raising their hand and volunteering.
Wow.
To come
She's
in.
A local, right? Local?
Yep. Come in, help her at work, help her with groceries, help her sitting with her husband, you know, because she couldn't afford, you know, somebody, a professional caregiver to come in. She didn't need anyone who was medical. She just needed company for him. And all of these people just started raising their hands and volunteering. And there is a book on Share the Care and how to do it. And it's just called Share the Care. And I recommend it to anyone who's got some
care.
Sort of a network of friends, because I really do feel if you don't ask, you don't get.
Who started it?
Her name is Sheila. I think it's Sheila Shevitz. I'm not absolutely. Her first name is Sheila.
That'd be a great TEDx talk, you know. Maybe
well,
it's already happened.
Maybe she when it started, it really took off, and I don't know what's going on with it right now. But the premise really works, and if you have a network of friends and you need support, you can call on them before it gets to the point where you don't talk to them anymore, and you know,
isolation.
Yeah, and you get isolated. So if you start right up front, knowing you need help, and you can just have this in your own home, if you can have
so
even a group of eight people helps.
So does it have to be, like, in person, or can it be online, or both?
I guess you could do it, you know, as an
like
online
meetup
thing.
Or something.
We didn't even have coffee or anything, you know. It was just people coming and sitting down and talking.
When was this?
Five years ago.
When you were a caregiver?
No. After I was a caregiver, she became a caregiver.
And she invited you?
No. I told her that I would host this.
Ah, that's a great gift to a caregiver, by the way.
Yes.
For somebody who's not a caregiver, who wants to do something for, you know, maybe the three caregivers that they know who they see aren't doing well, and says, you know what, I should do this, and
well,
I can kill three birds with one
stone.
Well,
she did it because a friend of hers, a good friend of hers, ours, who had cancer and was alone, had called on her friends to help her.
Mm. It's almost like an intervention.
And then told Veronica to do this for herself,
yeah,
to help Stu, her husband, and it worked. She
I guess it would be, yeah.
She needed. people know more people than they think they know, and more people are willing to help.
Just look at your Facebook friend list. My gosh. Every now and then.
I don't have very many friends on Facebook.
Every now and then, I will see a friend who knows a common friend, and there's nothing, I don't know how they know each other, because they're just not, they don't have anything in common. And so I'll instant message this person and say, how do you know so-and-so? And I'll say, who? And I'll say, so-and-so, they're your friend on Facebook. And so, you know, I friend a lot of people. I don't know everybody. And I'm saying, really? So we have all these people who are friends who we don't even know. We
because
don't know
they
who
suggest
they are.
Friends for you. They give you a list of people.
Yeah.
Do you friend them.
And I do that too. And chances are I will befriend someone who has 100 mutual friends, maybe even 50 mutual friends, because it's like, oh my gosh, they know all the people I know. We probably have something in common or are probably part of this group, and I'll befriend them. But how often do we follow up and say, hey, you know, so who do you know, or what do you know? We don't, because
That's
there's too
right.
many. It's overwhelming. I don't, I can't do that. I don't,
I forgot to turn mine off.
I thought I had that.
Oh, no, it's
I know a lot of people who charge like 25 cents or $5, depending on who they are, every time that happens in a live broadcast.
That's funny.
But I've got to, okay, I'll take a dollar out of this pocket and I'll put it in this pocket. Okay, now we're okay.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the holidays. I watched The View this morning, it was yesterday that it came up.
Do you watch that a lot?
I love The View because everybody has a different point of view.
And they have a permanent conservative person on there, right? Or is it more than
Meghan
one?
Meghan McCain and
yeah,
and
is she the only
two.
One?
There are two.
Who's the other one?
I can't remember her name. She's new. Her father is an ambassador.
Hmm. Okay.
But the point that I wanted to make was everybody came on and started talking about how wonderful their Thanksgiving was and talking to the audience and saying, we hope your Thanksgiving was great. And Meghan McCain interrupted and said, I really have to say this, and it's very important to me. My holidays aren't so great. My holidays are going to be very hard because, you know, she just lost her father.
Yeah.
And they were very close. And the holidays were not going to be the same. And the rest of the family felt the same way. So she was telling everyone who was going through something that was difficult that it was okay to feel lousy, that you didn't have to be happy, that Christmas wasn't going to be merry this year. It was going to be tough. And it was really just another day. There's absolutely no reason for feeling guilty about not being able to celebrate. You might feel bad that you're not going to be able to do it, but don't feel guilty or ashamed. And I was very glad to hear that kind of message.
What response did she get?
Because you usually don't hear things like if you're grieving, the holidays are not going to be the same, and you should feel the way you need to feel. And I agreed wholeheartedly and was really impressed that she decided to say something.
And what response did she get from the other?
Everyone was very proud of her for speaking up and saying it. I don't know what your first holidays were like when Charlene first had her stroke, how you felt. It had to be different than it had been the year before.
Yeah, she was deep in her grief process. So she had her stroke September 1st, October, November, December.
December,
so it'd be three and a half months later. Mm-hmm. And she's the Christmas nut. She starts decorating
right
after Halloween, you know, one of those people. And then she usually has her shopping all done by that time as well.
Wow.
Usually earlier. And our house was just a very dark place, and it wasn't decorated. And it was just me and my daughter, who was 19 at the time, and Charlene was just depressed, sad, you know, didn't want to dress up, didn't want to, you know, which is so different from now. Her appearance.
And how did you feel?
I was kind of numb.
Yeah, and it was, you didn't feel guilty about it. You didn't.
I'm not sure what I felt. All I knew is I felt bad that she was not happy.
Yes.
And I felt, I never thought that I would miss the decorations around the house and all the things that I took for granted that she was so responsible for.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, I have been known to complain that she does too much at Christmas time.
Right.
And we need more decorations. My gosh, have you seen the Christmas shed lately? What do you mean?
I mean, no, there are the Christmas shed. That,
yeah,
that
the Christmas shed. A shed dedicated to Christmas things.
Ornament. That's a lot.
It was
lot
10 feet
Christmas.
Long and 6 feet wide and 8 feet high. And it was packed. And I remember saying things like, listen, you cannot buy any more Christmas stuff until you decide that you want to get rid of a Christmas thing, okay?
Right.
One
right.
in, one out. And to be there at Christmas time where nothing was up, and it just felt sad.
Yeah.
Very sad. So my daughter and I, we made a very feeble attempt to decorate. We couldn't even come close.
You couldn't come close. No,
no
I mean,
close.
Christmas, there are
maybe
Christmas nuts.
Yes.
There were Christmas nuts.
10%. And we remember, you know, just saying, well, that looks nice, doesn't it? And she just goes, you know, it's like, no, it doesn't. But I'm not going to get involved, you know, she would say. She can't say it. She would communicate
yeah,
it because she
know,
can't
you...
talk. But it was just, you brought up a very, you're bringing tears to my eyes. It was a very sad time.
Yeah, well, see, but it was, that was what it was. And there's no reason, I mean, yes, there's reason to feel sad, but there's nothing wrong with that.
She's back, of course. Oh, that's okay.
I'm sorry I made you cry.
Now I can say Adrian made me cry.
Well, it's when it's Christmas and when it's New Year's, and we used to do it on Thanksgiving too. We had a chat. We used to have a chat that went from, let's say, 9 o'clock to midnight. For caregivers who just needed company on you know, on the holidays and didn't
That's
have any
idea.
Other place to go. So we don't have the chats anymore because we've got the groups, the communities that
which I assume are active on Christmas Eve or
which
whatever.
Are active, and that's a service to
that's
know
a great thing you did, you know, realizing, well, the chats aren't working. I remember you had such a hard time getting people to show up for them, the scheduled ones, you know, you
it
had
was,
these forums.
It was very difficult. I mean, I had been a member of a chat, and there were about 18 members, I would say, about 10 or 12 showed up every week.
Yeah.
It was cancer specific. It was through the American Cancer Society, and the people were very dedicated. It's hard to get groups going.
Yeah.
And I started with a lot of people who said they were interested, and then there were very few people who showed up.
I have that same problem.
Yep.
I want to bring you into my group, the small group. I'll invite you.
Oh, good.
And, you know, there's not much going on in there, but I know you've been there and done that. And, you know, I can even invite Corey just to, you know, get advice. You know, so what should I do? You know, because this thing just doesn't seem to get off the ground. And first, you know, you had to become a member of the website to join.
Sure.
But I gave that up. I gave that up because, you know, anything to get it off the ground, because it's like, you know, when you're a new business, you give things away for free just to get it going, you know, get the momentum going. So now you just have to be breathing to be a member and be a caregiver. And so I would love to get some feedback from you of what I should do next and how it should
work. Well,
we're not competitors or anything, because we.
No, I mean, I thought that you had to be a.
You did, but I changed that about 2 months ago because,
I didn't know that.
You know, I'm changing like you're changing. This isn't working. Now, this isn't working, so I've got to make another change.
Because Facebook's algorithm is constantly changing.
Yes. And we can't reach those 35,000. You're not reaching the 160,000 or whatever your number is now. You do a post, you're lucky if 1 or 10% sees them. You know, it just depends on how active they are. On the big one.
On the big one, what they can do, what we are getting, of course, we get a lot of shares.
But you're not getting 100,000 shares or anything like that. You know, are you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Wow. Well, you're doing something right.
Sometimes we do.
That's awesome.
But that's on Facebook. That's not on the website. Yeah. There are people who will share things from the website, and talk about it on Facebook, and then people will go to the website. You know, a lot of people never go to the website. It's Facebook.
It's scary. Websites are scary to people who aren't, you know.
We're very
savvy.
Simple. We're very simple, very
straight. It doesn't matter. The whole concept of a domain. And remember American Online? That was so user-friendly, and everybody was on America. I was. I had my email on America.line, and they made a movie out of it. You know, you've got mail.
Yeah.
You know? It's so warm and friendly and fuzzy. And I don't know what happened to it, but Facebook kind of took over. Remember was MySpace? That
MySpace
never really took. It was too complicated. But
people were
Zuckerberg,
on it.
Even though he stole the idea from some people at Harvard, Zuckerberg is a smart cookie. And if we offended anybody out there, you know.
Oh, we didn't offend anybody.
Well, you never know. We offend people without. Just by looking at them crooked, you know, we offend people. Because that's the day and the age that we live in. So thank you for the show. It was a great show. And
casual and many topics.
I'm trying to imagine if I was a caregiver just listening to us gabble. Gabble, is that a word?
Yes.
What's the word?
Gab.
Gab, yeah, okay. Gab about this and that and whatever. It's like, you know, that's what they do on talk.
Take a break. It's a respite. That's what it is.
This is our holiday show. So, you know, I think it's just like sitting down in the living room, just talking with a friend about this and that, wherever the conversation goes.
Sure.
I'm caregiverdave.com. It's all there if you want to talk to me or join or do anything. And for Adrian,
it's the caregiverspace.org. And, you can email me at adrian@thecaregiverspace.org.
Awesome. Thank you, Adrian. And God bless everybody. God bless America. See you later. Bye.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show.
Goodbye.